Hello, welcome to the F1 show. We're here to discuss the Bahrain Grand Prix and all the ins and outs that went on this week, because there was lots, tons to talk about, loads and loads to talk about. I don't know if we're going to talk about the security situation, because that's kind of been done to death, but we're certainly going to talk about Rosberg and whether he understands the phrase, hold your line. Joining me, fantastic panel to discuss it. Top left, we've got Mr. Tony Blunt. How's it going, mate?
Hello, I'm very good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, I'm all right. No worries, mate. Did you enjoy the GP this week?
Yep. It was another good one.
It was a hell of a race.
You're packing in the good ones this year, isn't it?
Yeah, the entertainment value is certainly higher than it was last year, no question, at this point. Taking a slug and mouthful of tea, which is now going to put him right off. We got Mr. Steve Neighbour from the London Mac User Group. How you doing, mate?
Are you trying to make me spit my tea over my MacBook again?
I'm going to wait until every moment that you're unprepared, and then I'm going to switch to you. That'll be my mission
every
this evening.
Every Grand Prix should have concrete on either side of the track.
Made out of sand.
Funny dusty stuff.
Sandy concrete. I like the sandy concrete.
Colour the dusty stuff like glitter, just to kind of increase the effect. It was a good race.
From what I understand of deserts, and I've got to say I'm not exactly well up on them, but Kari Holtzman, of course, comes on the big show, and he says the trouble with living in a desert is it gets everywhere. And he's been out to Burning Man, which is right thick in the middle of the desert, and he says you cameras that you take and things like that, you can go out there for a week, shoot pictures, and at the end of the week they don't work anymore. It's so full of dust. So
you read that news article about Lucy's girlfriend as well, then?
Go on. What's that about? I haven't seen that.
No, about the dust getting everywhere. It does. She was complaining about it.
Oh, the dust got everywhere.
That's what she was complaining about.
Oh.
Ooh.
Unlike Lewis. Next to Steve, Sarah. Sarah Gray, how you doing, girl?
Hello, I'm below.
Back from below. Okay, next.
But yes, I know what you mean, yes. Yes, I was just thinking about when you're talking about the sand getting everywhere. I think it was the... I can't remember. There was a race a few years ago where it was causing all manner of problems because the wind was whipping up and it was blowing the sand across the track.
Well, it did.
I can't remember
which
race it was now. It must have obviously been one of the desert ones.
No, they did talk about the wind in this quite a lot, actually. The wind in the Bahrains. Mirage Jinx, what on earth's going on in the chat room?
I don't know.
don't worry about it. It's just a different conversation.
And last, right? But by no means least, that dulcet tone is Mr. Chris Woods. How's it going, mate?
You're right, mate. How's things?
From Birmingham, just down the road.
Yes, cue my generic Black Country accent.
Yeah, you are coming to the bash, I hope, aren't you?
Of course.
Excellent. Good.
Yes, many, many beers and pieces of meat to be eaten.
Yeah, we've got to find a location yet. We shall see. The place that I was going to use is booked that weekend.
Oops.
So we've got a bit of searching to do, but we'll get some.
There's a golf course across the road from me we could go and destroy.
We could. Yeah, absolutely.
And some golf buggies. I'll bring a 7-iron. 4x4 in. It's all good.
7-iron, away we go. Right. The Bahrain Grand Prix. Where the hell's Steve gone?
Oh.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Stay red.
I didn't hang up on him. we might have to start again then. It says
so that would be a full start then.
That will be a full start. 3 points, penalties.
Let's you and you're starting from the pit lane now, mate.
I am. That's me. I'm back in the pit lane.
No, I think it's Steve. Steve that's starting from the pit lane.
Right.
He's got a 5-place grid penalty.
It was a problem with my left tyre, my back left tyre.
It was your wheel nut.
It went off
excuses,
again.
Excuses.
There was definitely a nut involved.
I'm
no
sorry,
question.
That's equivalent to a gearbox change.
Oh, dear me. So, you get fifth comment on the grid then, Steve, as opposed to first one on the race. The Bahrain Grand Prix, I mean, there's a hullabaloo about whether we should even be there or not, and politics and keeping sport and politics apart from each other. Every time anyone says that to me, the first thing I say to them is politics. Sport is politics. It's the microcosm. So that's an absolute bull of an argument. Do you want to gloss over the politics of it, or do you want to get a few digs in?
I think the
few digs in then.
No. I just wanted to make a comment that the only person that I was aware that really came out and spoke, other than Bernie and the FIA, was Ross Brawn. I don't know if anyone saw his comments about that.
No.
And the fact that he had a go at everyone who was criticising the fact they were in Bahrain, which I thought was quite interesting.
How did he do that? What was his comments?
Exactly. As far as I can, exactly that. He was criticising the fact that people were having a go at why they were there, and you know there was this talk about whether Jensen and Lewis should boycott the race, and which was came from a British politician. I can't remember who it was, but
I think it was Clegg, wasn't it?
Well, the official line.
But I noticed after the race, there were a few drivers saying we were glad to be out of there.
Yeah, well,
Mark Webber did, didn't he?
It's not the nicest place in the world to go. I mean, I remember doing work in Nigeria a few years ago, and it was 2 weeks of my life that I'd quite happily forget. It was an unpleasant experience from start to finish. I didn't see the magic of the place in the slightest. And it started.
The same experience in Bradford.
It kind of started when I got cautioned about being picked up by the wrong bloke at reception or at the airport who'd have a different nameplate that had been rewritten to look like my name. So I got in a car that wasn't the limo I was supposed to get in, and that'd be it. Yeah, I thought, I don't want to go here again.
You get in limos?
I got in a limo. Yes, I did. I did a limo. I'll tell you more about that when we're off the air. But no, I mean, so there's lots of places you can go in the world where it's ill-advised to go out at night, and if the dogs start following you down the street, you know you're in trouble. And Bahrain's probably one of those places. But the official line from the government was it's perfectly okay to go. They did say last year they didn't want anyone to go, and straight in line with that, the race was pulled. And this year, no bodies have said you should not be there. So they went. Is that fair enough?
To be fair, there's also been a... Wasn't there a problem in Brazil? Was it last year or the year before where someone nearly got hurt? You know, from being hijacked outside the track or something.
Was it
Button? I think.
Yeah, I think it was Jensen, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did Rosberg run up to him and push him into a wall or something like that? No.
It was Masters Familia.
There's something about the McLaren team. Sorry, the Mercedes team, because obviously Shuey did that with Barrichello. Last year, wasn't it? He got punished for
what? Mugged him?
No. He tried to. Don't you remember? He tried to push him into the pit wall.
Right. That was Barrichello and Shuey. Yes.
So it's obviously something about Mercedes drivers.
Jenks says that the start of the podcast has been Webbered. I'm not sure if that's slow to get going though. Maybe. Chris, you got anything you want to say on the politics?
The politics, well, we got one of two lines, didn't we? We got either, well, you know, it shines a spotlight on all the problems in the region, or let's put politics aside and just have a race.
Mm.
But then Brundle's comment after the race that the only winner from this weekend was, I'm not going to spoil it, our winner. Yeah, there were no winners. It was a shame. It was a shame that things happened the way they did, and it probably confirmed to all the critics that it was just about money. And it was bandied around beforehand, wasn't it, that this is the richest race on the calendar, so there was no way in hell Mr. Eccleston was going to cancel it. It was too much riding.
From the Bahrain point of view, it was also the main sporting event in
the
country.
Did you see the grandstands? I mean, it wasn't exactly a sellout event.
No.
I mean, last year Bernie still got the money from the organisers, you know, for the event, didn't he? He just didn't get any other revenues from like tickets and things like that. I was reading an article about, I think it was on Autosport.
Because everyone was interned.
Mm.
I'm glad they raced it.
Yeah.
I think it's good for sport to go to and push the boundaries, because if sport doesn't, who else is going to? The politicians? No, they don't. Business is what moves most sport, so it's quite good for business to move politics sometimes. It makes them do things that's a bit uncomfortable, and that's probably what this weekend was. It was uncomfortable for probably a few politicians, so good for that. And I wouldn't have known about the issues in Bahrain if they didn't go there, and I think a few more people probably found out about that and the issues that are there due to being highlighted by the Formula One. It's good.
What complicated it, slightly ethics-wise as well, was that the Bahrainis employed John Yates, formerly of Scotland Yard, to help them coordinate the crowd control. So he was there offering advice on kettling and how to suppress all the protesters. And he's a Brit.
I'd just like to point out we don't actually know that at this point. But If any kettling was done, I'm sure it was done in the best
position. But we can
British traditions of kettling were upheld.
Yeah, but of course, yes. A Brit never goes anywhere without a kettle.
We are currently, of course,
the nightclub. You have a bit of kettling. If there's no kettling in the normal night, you know. Not that I've been clubbing for many a year.
We are, of course, the kettling world champions at the moment. One of the few sports where we are.
We should have a World Cup of kettling. Mm. We'd be good at that.
Yeah, Mysterio versus Egypt.
Bring on the Olympics. We'll show you what kettling is.
When Jake did the highlights intro, he looked kind of apprehensive. And I've got to say, the one thing that struck me instantly, where is the BBC doing this frigging camera waving around thing? It was like, they think they're being arty and they're just really pissing me off. Nothing makes me want to go to Sky more than the fact that Sky hold the frigging camera steady.
Had you drunken many pints when you watched it?
No, I was watching it at 4 o'clock this morning. I watched the highlights that I'd got off Get iPlayer Automated, which I didn't really do, of course. And it was 4 o'clock this morning, sat on the sofa and...
If you're listening to this bit of the podcast and you're thinking watching Formula One with things that you shouldn't really use, turn off now because I've got lots of tips from Paul who sent them to me.
Right, excellent. We'll have a tipster session later on. The cool thingy for F1. Yeah. There we go. Enough politics and enough camera work.
Let's talk about a race.
Qualifying then. Sebastian just kind of flew through to pole. That was it. Kind of a foregone conclusion.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, I mean, but it didn't. It struck me that Shuey went out on Q1. The Toro Rossos did well, of course. And I thought it was fairly uneventful. Even the top 10 shootout really kind of didn't yield much, did it?
Not really, apart from Shuey.
Oh, sorry to wake you up, Sarah.
Sorry.
Is it the jet lag from Ireland?
Oh, shut up.
It's the Guinness.
No, I was going to say, apart from Shuey going out, there wasn't a great deal on Raikkonen not making it through to Q3, but, you know, we'll get onto the race. But
there was strategy behind that, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a fairly uneventful qualifying, really.
Marussia, our team, 23rd on the grid. Well done, Timo. Superb.
Still 10th in the championship, constructors.
Yeah, we like that. They're our adoptive team, of course, because they're sponsored by UK2.net. So we're sister companies there.
Still waiting for those tickets, Graham.
Yes, still waiting for the tickets. Thank you,
Mr. Loudon. Come on.
We are supporting you avidly here. We love our red cars with black on and white.
Mm. Yeah, we'd love to do the podcast live after the race, wouldn't we?
Oh no, that's never going to happen because Bernie would want blood and semen from all of us. So
Silverstone could do Monaco?
Yeah, we could just. Oh, that's true.
We could do it from Monaco.
There with Silverstone, but you know, if you force my hand to Monaco, I'm sure we could.
Malaysia, please.
Wait a minute.
If we can get the bandwidth, I'm there. That's all I can say.
We can nip into the Silverstone radio offices to do Silverstone.
My yacht has only got up to 10 megabits a second, though, I'm afraid. I can't get any more connection than that. So,
what do you mean if we had the bandwidth?
Other yacht, I can get up to 100 megabits a second, but it doesn't fit in the port.
That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Do the British Grand Prix, British Tech F1 show.
Now, if you could do the
after the British Grand Prix, which is 2 days after the bash.
If you could do the British Grand Prix from my boat, that would be even more impressive.
A boat's not going to be much good there, is it?
Exactly. It's landlocked.
Isn't it a long boat?
No. However, unlike the Queen, I do actually ride in it.
Haven't it rained towards in enough years?
Oh, you know, that's true. Good point. I might be able to get a few people out of the car park with it. So we're going to pass over qualifying because I got to say, I can't think. Grosjean, very good. And Raikkonen, very good.
Yeah, we'll come to them a bit later.
But that's pretty much it, I would have said. There's not an awful lot there. And Marussia in at 23. Oh, well done.
The other one, Ricciardo, was pretty high.
Yeah.
Ricciardo, yes.
He was the real star of the qualifying.
He was a real star until about 3 seconds after the start.
Yeah, after the lights
went out. When he dropped to 17th on the first lap.
I managed to take out Kobe.
Did he?
Kobe clipped him, yeah.
Oh, right. Was that? Oh, that was the tire rub front end removal thing. Very good.
Which ended Kovalainen's race.
So, the race, we started off, Vettel hurled out the gates, and by the end of lap one, was 2 seconds clear.
Straight out the DRS though, already.
Good tyre choice. Yeah, exactly. No one's going to get DRS against him, and the thing, he's got clean air as well as. He's probably got 12 laps before he catches up to anyone that's starting to pit. And he managed his pit stop well because he came in on lap 12. Everyone else started to come in on lap 10. And again, he kept the clean air. I mean, was it just a case of Vettel winning because it was a better strategy? Because they were talking 4 pit stop strategies, weren't they, for some teams?
I think certainly from what the commentators were saying on BBC, that he'd seen what Rosberg did in China, and the idea was to try and get at least a second ahead to stay out of that DRS zone where anyone could catch him, and then just manage the tyres from then on, so that he could just drift away into the distance, and he largely did that.
Yeah. Was anyone else just exceptionally excited when Vettel got to the front and then just stormed ahead? I was just loving it. It was my favourite moment.
I don't believe you.
You're not a Vettel lover, are you?
No.
You already took a little sarcastic.
Just boring.
I have to say that I have prepared for this duality. So I'll see how it feels at the end of the podcast. I may be in, I may be out, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. See how I feel, eh? So I mean, is Bahrain a challenging environment for them? Because I mean, it's very dusty, so the dust has got to be getting into the engine and the air intakes, hasn't it? Yeah. It's got to be being picked up by the oil, and then all of a sudden the oil with the dust is going to start being a cutting agent as opposed to a lubricant.
Aside from affecting grip.
Grip as well as, I mean, it was a bit of a dust bowl. Here we go. There's the back straight on, I think that's lap 3, something like that. And that's on the racing line, and there is a shed load of dust coming up from the track there. I mean, I've got to say, I think in my own mind that I want Bahrain in the circuit because of the fact, or in the tour, because of the fact it's got this really difficult conditions for them because of the dust and the heat. And also they were saying that the wind was heavily affecting aerodynamics as well.
Yeah, wasn't it a headwind down one of the straights, and then down the other straight that's parallel, it'd be helping them.
Well, they were saying that the winds are effectively just causing havoc with the aerodynamics.
Call from Steve.
Thanks, Steve. The aerodynamics were just playing havoc the wind was playing havoc with the aerodynamics because they were. They were just constantly being buffeted, and it wasn't giving them any kind of real traction, no? No.
Well, okay. Because of the wind?
The wind was causing them problems.
How windy was it?
They said the wind was particularly affecting the McLarens. That was the words of DC. He said, of course, the winds will particularly affect McLarens. Now, I don't know. See, I've got this theory, okay, and this is more than likely to be utter bunkum, I'm quite happy to admit. Vettel has really struggled, and also Webber to a certain degree, because they've had excessive downforce on the back end, is that right? And Vettel's been fighting it on the understeer.
But they've been compensated for the double diffusers there.
Right. Now, everyone else is having problems with oversteer at Bahrain because of the sand being on the track and because of struggling to get the tyres to start working. Because Vettel's got the greater downforce, that's why he's had a better Grand Prix, because basically the track has fitted his setup rather than Vettel's done anything particularly different from last week to this week. Just a thought. Discuss. You guys get the idea of a podcast, right? I talk, then you talk.
Yeah, no, she was just taking in what you think, what you're saying. I mean, it's certainly an interesting idea. When I saw the way Vettel performed in quali, my thought was, oh, he started listening to Adrian Newey again.
Vettel has started listening to Adrian Newey. Come on, anyone go.
He was kind of playing Team Rebel up to this point, wasn't he? He was trying to play different. You know, Webber was getting the better result from a different setup, which was what Newey was recommending, whereas Vettel was trying to go his own way with it slightly.
Smart.
Has Vettel changed his setup, do you think, and gone with Newey, or is he doing what I said? He's just it happened to fit the setup a lot better this track.
It's certainly possible. I mean, obviously, once we get to Spain, we'll get a better idea of if he starts being more successful. Then I think he's obviously starting to see a bit more of as a team effort.
Well, by then we'll also have more sort of upgrades and things like that for all the teams, won't we?
Yeah, that's certainly
that'll have an effect, and we know what Red Bull are like at bringing upgrades.
And I think performance-wise, there's an improvement because they found this little tweak that they were hiding on the grid and they were hiding in the garage, and as a result of that, they brought the exhausts. They converged the exhaust design for both vehicles, so more of a level playing field. Found that extra downforce that they thought they were missing last time, and then look, all of a sudden, the car's planted at the back. They can run the engine with a higher engine mode, get the speed. I think they were having to rev limit, essentially, manage the engine in order to stop just spinning the back wheels up because they had no rear downforce, which is why they were struggling in previous races, but they've got that all sorted out now. Mm. Newey's done it again. So I think this is actual pace.
Right, okay. You going to say something, Tony?
No, it was just about the modification on the Red Bull. It was, where it was at the back of the side pod, wasn't it? The bit that we're trying to cover up.
Mm. Cool.
Yes.
So then Vettel's straight ahead, and it's all fairly straightforward. And then turn eight, he's got and then turn eight, there's loads of changes in the line through from T2 to T3, isn't there? I mean, that whole, the way that bend kind of panned out, there was lots of different attacking lines going into that corner.
The thing I noticed just leading up to that corner was the start. The McLarens have been historically, well, a few races this year, they've been really, really quick off the line. But if anything, they were slow off the line on this race as well. So it was interesting as they came up to that corner, the difference that McLaren seemed to have lost for this race.
Well, DC was talking about there being a full car's length difference in scrub tyres versus clean tyres with the sand. If you've got a slightly scrubbed tyre from your qualifying lap, as soon as you start laying down the power, it just instantly then starts to slip on the sand. It really needs to get grip and traction. And if it's got a clean tyre, you'll get that traction. And that could be a full car length right at the start.
Yeah.
Which is enormous.
Yeah. The thing is, how long's that going to last for? And, that may explain why we're getting 3 and 4 pit stops.
Hmm. Was it the track eating the tyres, or was it the drivers eating the tyres up?
I think it was probably the track.
Schumacher seemed to think otherwise after, didn't he?
Well, he was complaining about the tyres full stop, I thought. It wasn't necessarily about the track eating the tyres. He was saying that the compounds were wrong. The compounds were too difficult. All year they were the wrong thing.
I thought he was saying that they were falling off the cliff too quickly.
Wearing off too quickly. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you've only got a couple of millimetres of things before they actually start to go off. That's going to make them last a heck of a lot shorter, especially on a track where there's a lot more issues to deal with, like the sand and so on and so forth, like this track.
It's something Pirelli, they need to strike a balance, because last year we had tyres that nearly lasted a whole race, didn't we? Mm. Whereas now we're having to stop, 3-4 times.
It's more fun.
On the balance.
I agree with Chris. I think it is more fun.
That's the whole point. It's a bit of razzmatazz, isn't it? And then, to be honest, Schumacher should stop playing with his brake bias and start managing his tyres.
My mother always said the same to me when she burst in on me.
He'll go
the
blind
bedroom.
If he keeps on doing that.
Exactly.
You know what it reminds me of every time he does that?
Go on.
Remember Darth Vader as he comes into the final section where he's trying to hunt down Skywalker, etc.? He plays with his things really often, just the same way Schumacher does. Plays with his little joystick thing. You watch it. Very similar.
Which film is this then? Is this six?
Star Wars.
The last one?
No, the Star Wars, the proper one.
The the last.
Episode four.
The very last one. No, four.
It's Return of the Jedi.
Six.
No.
Six.
No. Four's A New Hope. Four. Four's the first one.
Yeah.
Five Two's is Empire, the, Strikes, Empire Back. Strikes Back. Yeah, which is five.
A New Hope.
A New Hope's three.
That's four.
No, four. New Hope's four.
Four.
Jeez.
Yeah, Phantom Menace is one.
Good.
Oh, God. Don't. No, don't. One, two, and three don't exist to me.
Jenks in the chat room saying, Horner said both cars were the same this weekend. A very, very minor exhaust difference. Track was covered in sand, already abrasive, but basically driving on sandpaper, perhaps. Good point. DiResta did a two-stopper as well, so the tyres weren't all wearing out for everybody right away across. And, of course, DiResta did have a very solid finish in sixth, didn't he?
I mean, that was... Yeah, that could he probably compensated with his setup on his downforce and things like that to sort of counteract it. He did very well. Yeah.
Who's never been seen in the same room twice, James? I don't get that one. Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, or Adrian Newey and Darth Vader?
Vader and Schumacher.
Vader and Schumacher. No. Mm. He doesn't get that kind of suck though, has he? Really?
Ferrari Anthem, Imperial March.
Could be.
So
lap three, Raikkonen versus Massa. Did you see that little battle that went on?
I was amazed Massa didn't hit him.
I was amazed as well, but that was real nose to nose stuff, wasn't it? I mean, it was spot on. Fag papers between the tyres. I mean, that's what we want. I mean, that's what Chris is talking about with the tyres wearing out. It makes them come in a bit more, makes them do a bit more, makes them think a bit more, gets us those battles out on the track, and that's what we love.
Yeah, I mean, Raikkonen is shaking it up a bit this year, isn't he? That's typical him this year, isn't it? He's just going for it.
I still thought he was a grumpy git.
He's got nothing to lose, really. It's his return. You know, he just wants to get out there and get the job done.
Grumpy git is not strong enough for the little blanker. He's ultimately depressive.
What's in that mug, neighbour?
Well, I'm trying to not express what I feel without... words that I shouldn't.
That'll have to bleep later.
Well, I haven't said anything, but he is really grumpy.
He is.
He's just so dull.
He's an obnoxious.
He's laconic.
You're talking about Raikkonen.
He's not a Formula One racer.
Did you say laconic?
Laconic.
Yeah, well, laconic would be sleepy and drowsy and...
Yeah.
That's the way he talks.
No, he's not.
He's monotonous, isn't he?
See him in the post-race discussion. It was just kind of like, whatever, just kind of, I'm having a nap.
Yeah. Well, he seems to do it for longer now than he used to in his old interviews.
He shows such utter disdain towards all the things that all the other guys have to do, like play up for the sponsors and answer the questions and be nice generally. You know, you can just tell he's there because he enjoys the racing and he's just doing the bare minimum. He reminds me of me when I was at secondary school.
Yeah, probably why like I like him so much. Grumpy old teenager that's kind of like...
Did people always wave blue flags at you as well?
He's just brilliant. He's an inspiration.
He's never liked the media side of it, though, has he? Really?
No.
Wrong job.
Yeah.
Don't go and work in the entertainment industry.
That's why he went to rally, wasn't it?
Do you remember a couple of years ago when at the Malaysian Grand Prix, you remember that race that Jensen won after it was stopped after three-quarter distance? And they had a huge amount of rain and there was a large delay. And you just saw Raikkonen go off and in shorts and grab an ice cream before they'd even decided to can the race. And you thought, he's just not interested.
Mm.
I think it was the year he retired.
Means to an end.
One of the coverage teams made a joke about that to him in one of the press conferences. He didn't respond well to it.
No. It was funny, though.
Funny to everyone else.
He's just a different kind of racer. So we know that Vettel spends hours and hours in the garage going through little tweaks and things and knickknacks, and you know, he's good mates with all the engineers and that. Whereas Raikkonen, I think, views it more as, I come to the office, I do my job, and then I go home. You know, he doesn't feel the need to sit around and associate with all the guys in the crew. He'll work with them and get a rapport going, and there we go. It gives them the results, and that's what the sponsors want, isn't it? End of the day.
It's like the opposite approach. He's like the opposite of Eddie Irvine when Eddie Irvine was racing. You really got the impression that Eddie Irvine might have been going out to a party just in a bath of champagne with about four or five women in it. He didn't know the name of them, but he knew them at the end of the night. That was the type of night that Irvine might have had, allegedly. But I don't think he doesn't do the same thing, does he?
Well, wasn't he pictured many times out on drinking binges?
Yeah, just to help his publicity. They're all staged.
That was a time ago.
Well, they're all pretty anal. I mean, for a start, they're all watching their weight because otherwise they won't fit in those suits and they won't fit in the cars. Mm. They've got to maintain a body weight throughout the whole season. So, partying out and drinking 15 pints of Guinness is never going to happen if you want to stay the same shape, especially you look at someone like Weber whose genes are fighting against him constantly because he's so tall.
Anthony Davison was, yeah.
Yeah, you listen to Vettel at the end of the post-match interview or the post-race interview with Jake and DC, and he was saying, the mechanics working their arses off constantly, they're all knackered. But at the end of it, he said, when we've all finished, they all want to go out to the pub and get drunk. They've got, I don't know where they get it from. He says, they're working all the hours God sends. They never sleep over the whole weekend, and then on Sunday night, they want to go out partying. There's drugs there. You can't do 3 days without sleep and then go out partying.
Something special in that Red Bull.
Oh, it's the Red Bull. There you go. See,
I would say that it is possible if you. It's a bit of an adrenaline rush, and that's what does it, I think.
And the party is a wind down at the end after all of that work.
Yeah, exactly.
Three magic words: company, credit card.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure it's all paid for.
Especially if your team wins.
Mind you, I did go. Did I tell you the other week I went to a facility and took some pictures? And this guy works on trains now, but he used to work on Formula One engines. He used to refurb and manufacture them. And I said, "Oh, that must have been a cool job." And he went, "No, it's crap. It's like any other job. Just turn up, take the money, go." So you didn't get any perks, or no? You didn't see the drivers? No. Just made engines. Really? Yeah. Do you ever fire them up? No. Just made a part for the engine that never saw fired up. It was like, oh God!
No, it sounded like he was in it for the love of it.
Well, no, it was a mechanic, and he made engines and refurbed engines, and that was it. He might as well have been doing it for Peugeot as he'd been doing it for I think he did it for McLaren actually, but it was just pointless. Or it might have been Red Bull, but he never saw them fired up. He just cleaned parts and repaired them, and that was it. Built them. Do as you tell. Back to the racing. We've got to talk about lap 10. We can't go any longer without talking about lap 10. Lap 10 was the famous incident. You've got the standard racing line into T3. Was it T2 or T3? T2. And that's the standard racing line. So you're pretty much off the apex and then moving out towards the red curb, maybe just a car length inside of that, and that's particularly where you should go. And you hold it all the way down the straight. However, we then get Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Rosberg coming out of there. And Rosberg holds his line initially, and Hamilton takes a dive up the inside. Then, of course, we get the problem that Rosberg decides he's going to go over and batter him out. And he keeps going, and he takes it right over to the point that he is over the white line. And so is Jensen, narrowly missing the hoarding there. And he actually does make the pass in the end. Which is pretty impressive, I thought, from Hammy. But, I mean, when I saw that, I was appalled. I thought that was a disgraceful racing line from Rosberg. And then for Rosberg to come on the radio and say, Hamilton overtook me on the concrete, Hamilton overtook me on the concrete, I was aghast.
Because he pushed him there, allegedly.
What were your thoughts? I mean, the stewards did absolutely bugger all, which to me, what makes me worry that there's a... is there a Formula One elite who, if they bend the rules or they break the rules, it's okay because it'll get overlooked?
Well, Alonso did a little tweet about that after the race, didn't he? Something about, you can race wherever you like, and because he had his own problems later in the race. But I wasn't sure whether Rosberg was aware of where he was. Not so much of where the McLaren was behind him, but where he was.
I don't buy that in the slightest, Tone. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he did it twice. He didn't do it on every single lap. That's not like him saying, I think I need that line. I'm going to try it and see if I can get any faster by deviating and taking a longer route. But you mean there's him forcing off Hamilton, and here's him forcing off Alonso. I mean, that's a carbon copy. That's Alonso. That's Hamilton. That's Alonso. That's Hamilton. They're just identical. Absolutely identical.
And he got away with both of them, didn't he?
He did. He got neither.
Did you notice that there was no... there was no fines at all this race, was there?
Yeah, I know.
It seemed like every race last year there was a fine of some type that was dry food penalties, et cetera, but there was quite a few on this one. There was a pit release as well. And just those two instances alone, you would have thought there would be some fines that were dishing out.
What's the view of the panel then? So just yay or nay, top left. Should he have been held up for that then, Tone?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
I would have thought there should be something. I mean, when it happened twice, yes.
Yeah. Hang him, says the chat room.
That's a bit strong.
A bit harsh, isn't it? But, you know.
No, guilty.
Make him ugly.
It's like last year we had, you know, so many penalties, and it's like this year, you know, because people hated it last year, all these penalties affecting race results, so they seem to have gone completely the other way this year.
I wouldn't agree with that, but I do think that given the current mentality of every little thing gets investigated, this was one that probably deserved a penalty.
I think so. Steve?
Hang him.
You're up the hanging crew, right, okay. So what was it particularly that you didn't like or you thought was wrong about it? Not just saying, oh, he's a bastard. You know, what was it that was wrong? What irked you in that in his action?
Did it twice? They just moved towards forcing another competitor off the road. You can't just do that accepting that the other car will be okay going over the white line and whatever's there, concrete or not. Imagine if he did squeeze him and Hamilton went into that barrier, it would be yeah, it'd be horrible.
Sarah, your view?
As like I said, I think he should have got a fine given the current mentality. I mean, you know, I think he was clear of that barrier. There wasn't any way he was going to really hit it. So he wasn't really in any danger. But with the current mentality of looking at every little thing that happens, that one problem, and some of those, a lot of those sort of things do get punished, then yes, he probably should have got punished.
Chris?
Inconsistency. I expected a punishment. There was none. I was very disappointed. And here's a fun fact for you. The race stewards for the Bahrain Grand Prix were Radovan Novak, Emmanuel Pirro, Mazin Al-Hili, and a man called Gary Connolly, who happens to be the moderator for the Motorsport Safety Development Workshop for the FIA. So if he thinks that was a safe move, a little bit worried now.
Right. I mean,
because if you said that, I'm surprised he would normally be... If he was the safety, what was his exact title? Safety.
He's been / is the moderator for the Motorsport Safety Development Workshop, and the FIA is promoting their safe driving thing at the moment. So it doesn't set a very good example if they're saying, "Well, you can drive a 250 mile an hour killing machine and knock him into the wall. It's not a problem, but drive safely, kids."
Because you would have thought he would be the opposite. Safety Development Council. The more safety work they have to do, the more work they have to do, and the, you know, better they are, and the more parties they go to because they're doing a good job. You would have thought he'd be, we have some work now, boys. Come on, we need to do this, you know, do that.
You never know, do you? I mean, the driver there was Emmanuel Pirro, who's an Italian, so maybe he was like, so he's a mister de barrier. He's for sure, it's not a problem. You just
hey, Luigi.
he's a fan. He's an open. He's lots of space. You can fit a bus down the middle. It's no problem.
So moving on then, before we get pulled off by the Race Relations Board. We probably don't
all
exist
Italians
in Britain anymore.
Drivers, we know this.
Yeah. Jenks in the chat room, it's a massive safety issue. Wheel-to-wheel racing's brilliant, but this isn't bumper cars. After all the rogering that Hamilton got last year, and Nico Rosberg has two unquestionable faults and receives nothing. I mean, that was the thing, was, you know, DC's there saying, this is the rule. If you go outside the white line, then you're deemed to have left the track, unless you can show that there was an unquestionable reason to do it. Rosberg, on both occasions, has forced someone off the track, not left the gap. The law also says you must leave one car's width. He has to leave a gap. That's what Alonso was shouting about. And he's failed to do that. He's actually crossed the white line himself in forcing them out. And my point was, he's come out of that bend. And if someone attacks him on the inside, he has every right to move over to defend that position, doesn't he? But A, he can't force him off the track. B, he's got to leave a gap up the side. And C, when he's done that, if he then comes back the other way, is he not changing for a second direction?
Yeah.
I mean, that's half a dozen offences, if you like, within that whole scope of what the rule book clearly states. And if the rule book can clearly state some of that, and excuse the pun on the white line, but it's black and white that you're over the line, you're out of the race. Then
this decision was interpreted and decided to the letter of the law, not the spirit. If you can Google the decision and the announcement, and right. They go through it in quite some details and talk about car number 8, car number 5, and analysing the telemetry. And the first time, the time Nico commenced his move, car 5 was behind him and no part of his car was alongside car 8, and car 8 made the move to the right prior to car 5 making the same move, and for more than half of the distance, 5 was behind 8, and because the delta was quite significant, it was difficult for Nico, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, they didn't think Nico did it deliberately. And the fact that Nico was driving quite smoothly diminished the seriousness of it. And pretty much the same thing for the second offence. It was a smooth and continuous drive in a straight line. The fact that the line wasn't straight perpendicular to the track.
Or the racing line.
Not the end of that. Exactly. And again, they say had a significant portion of car 4, who was been alongside that car 8 whilst 4 still remained within the confines of the track, then the actions of car 8 may not have been considered legitimate. However, because it was the inverse, it was fine. So they've obviously had some discussions with the representatives from the teams, and teams have gone, well, this is, you know, we think this was fine. This is why. And they've just taken it down to the subclauses, which is a shame, really, because it wasn't sportsmanlike conduct.
No.
So if it
didn't look good.
Go on, Chris.
Oh.
Well, I just didn't think it was a good, very good impression. You know, it's a shame, really. Because I think we all think unanimously that it was a poor bit of driving.
No question.
So if it had been grass, do we think he would have got away with it?
Gee, that would have been even worse.
Or grass would have been a lot worse, wouldn't it? Because it would have been big spin potential going on from that spin on the grass.
I mean, you know, it was. We think it was concrete, didn't we? So
it was concrete. Yeah,
it was sandy relatively concrete. Safe to drive on. I wonder if it had been a different surface, whether he would have got away with that.
I mean, we've also already talked about, you know, there'd been problems. Yeah, with the grip on certain parts of the track because of the dust being blown across. I mean, I don't know whether that was a might have been a factor here. You know, just playing devil's advocate a bit.
Yeah, but. I mean, there's a difference between it being not ideal, not the track, and unsafe.
Yeah,
that kind of devil's advocacy is going to get you hung, my friend.
It was too dusty. I couldn't see the track. I'm driving at 200 miles most of the time, but at that moment in time, I couldn't quite see where the track was. Therefore, I drove him off the road because I
just don't buy this. And the reason I don't buy it is because of the fact that A, he's done it twice, and B, he's so far off the racing line. That's not a touch of oversteer or understeer, is it? I mean, that is. I intend to go over there. The intention, I would say, was clearly there in that. But I mean, that's effectively signaled free for all. And the other one that bothers me was the pit releases, because there was 3 pit releases that I saw this week that I saw a couple last week that horrified me, and this week there was 3 that were, you know, drivers were coming out into the line of people that were exactly passing them, and Perez came out, didn't he, smack into I can't remember who it was.
Schumacher,
and the two of them are wall to wall, you know, tire wall to wall.
Is it now okay to do wall to wall racing on the
in the pit lane?
Pit lane,
yeah, I think that's perfect. This was
Perez wasn't. It was kind of, you know, give one and take one, because Perez was blocked on his way in, by someone coming out. So that's why they've shuffled all the gear closer to the garages, haven't they, to make this middle lane. So I think they're giving them a little bit more leeway. In that respect, and they've got the automated systems now, so that they can see when cars are being released.
I mean,
they're
also
well, aren't they?
I think it's a good point, Chris, and I hope that does stay. You know, that is true. What will be the test really is if that's consistent over the future races of the rest of the season, and I hope it is.
Do you know why they've done that, Chris?
I done what, the automated systems or the middle lane?
No, the moving the pit crews.
Well, as I understand it, it was for safety. I think there were concerns about there not being enough space if that were to happen.
It's that age-old thing, isn't it? You give an inch, take a mile. So
yeah, I have a feeling the teams have gone, hey, look, there's enough space in the pit lanes usually most of the time. Like, if we move our stuff a little bit closer, can we just release our cars and you not penalise us? But
the other thing to bear...
Anyway, with no fuel rig, so yeah.
The other thing to bear in mind is obviously Bahrain is a relatively new track, so they've got the more scope for allowing a wider pit lane. If that had been somewhere like Monaco, there'd been no option to do that.
It's all well and good until someone gets run over.
Someone's going to lose a front tyre and it's going to go into one of the garages, is my thought. It's going to come off, it's going to break the suspension, the thing's going to pop off and it'll just wheelie over. And no, I don't think anyone's going to get killed or anything like that, but that's what it'll take before they suddenly start saying something about the releases.
Well, they had mechanics being like injured, minor injuries last year, didn't they? From, not quite, tyres coming off.
Flying wheel nuts.
From the lines they were having to take out of the pit boxes.
Now, the other thing that the Grand Prix tend to be doing at the moment as well is I find them going to sleep in the middle section. So from sort of lap 25 up to sort of lap 40, 45, there's kind of a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, but not a lot of passing, and it seems it's just more a bit of shoveling because everyone's pitted and they're in for their second pit, and then, it kind of goes to sleep for me, but not this week. This week, we managed to see Alonso pit, in inverted commas. So he was it Perez he was following again?
Yeah.
Followed
on
Perez.
Lap 38, wasn't it?
39. Lap 38, 39, yeah. It was exactly at the end of 38. So Alonso follows Perez towards the pit lane. Now, I don't know what this white line signifies, whether that's a solid white line. If you're going in the pits, you better be this side of it, and if you're going to race, you'd better be the other side of it. But literally, at the very last second, and I mean, we're right up to the point, you can just see in this picture the pit wall there to the left. So, I mean, at this point, he's probably doing 160, 170 miles an hour.
Yeah, he was across the red and white, wasn't he?
And he pales off. Off he goes. Now, I mean, there was a lot of people saying, did he abort it because he was going to get stuck behind Perez? But one of the interesting points that came out quite quickly was, no, he was using it to get DRS. But I don't follow that because he deviated and must have slowed down so much.
He would have lost time anyway.
The time would have been irrelevant anyhow. Yeah.
But isn't the DRS detection zone before the start of the straight? It's around the final corner, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's activation that's down the main straight.
He was probably concentrating that much on following Perez. Not really.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to keep close, ready for making an attack on the last bend, and then. When Perez pitted, he realised he was off in the wrong place,
I think it was just his wife.
You got a phone call.
It's not this junction, you fool. Get back on the
You got the map upside down. Excellent. No, it's that was really weird. And has there been an explanation of that? Has anyone seen anything?
Nothing at all.
I didn't get it. No.
No, not yet, no.
But that was in the middle of the race, which is normally the dead section, the dead zone.
Then we also had in that part of it, what was it, lap 30, we had Massa and Hamilton on track together, as well as Kimi and
but
Vettel.
they played nice, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
Skip ahead.
They have been, though, to be fair.
Skip ahead, then. Lap 54, Jenson Button had a right old game, didn't he?
He did.
I mean, last week he had his long pit stop, which cost him a place. Yeah. And then this week, then is a cracked exhaust, and it sounded bad as he was coming around on it. It sounded bloody awful. But he's not. It's not McLaren's weak full stop, is it? With Hamilton having two slip rings on the tyres. Go on, Chris.
It sounded worse than an exhaust to me. I mean, there was the commentators on Sky were saying gearbox possibly. It sounded like a bag of spanners. It was awful.
It really did sound rough, didn't it?
Yeah, awful sound. Yeah.
Sounded like a Morris Minor. It was horrible.
The damage at the back, I thought, is that a result of the puncture he'd already had as well? Just a sort of side effect, wasn't it?
Bit of tyre gone in the wrong place.
What was quite interesting, though, was about within a couple of laps, both Button and Rosberg were supposed to have had cracked or broken exhausts. Now, I know there's obviously no issue with the two of them together, but it seems weird that you got two cars happen like that and nothing else in the race. I wonder if that could have anything to do with what we were talking about earlier about the sand becoming a, causing a problem.
I did say, you know, Rosberg's exhaust has gone, broken exhaust as well. What is it with exhausts at this place? Is there a connection? Anyone think there's a connection, or is it just a case of, yeah, filled with sand, or... It's exhaust, it's not an intake, is it? So
yeah, I know.
Well, the exhaust is what they're fiddling with for the improved downforce now, isn't it? So they're probably trying to make them thinner and thinner to redirect the airflow, and yeah. It's extremely hot.
That's gonna have a side effect,
they're probably just fracturing.
Building up, isn't it?
Right, there's a point here from Jenks in the chat room. Brundle mentioned something on the F1 that wasn't brought up on the BBC. They reckon he brought the car in so that they could DNF and change the gearbox without a penalty.
Exactly, they could change whatever they wanted, and it was a broken rear diff. Button's car.
Yeah, they'd have to justify that though, because if you remember when the FIA first brought this rule in, the cars started peeling in to the pits at the end of the race if they weren't going to score any points. So the FIA stamped on it. So they have to justify if there's a problem with a car that justifies actually changing something at the end of the race.
Broken rear diff.
Jenks's car was showing quite a few problems. So
it's fine. But I mean, unless he's got a gearbox problem, they're going to have a problem. Tough time actually justifying changing the gearbox.
That's right. Yeah, I think they could successfully argue that this one wasn't tactical retirement.
No, I mean, you've got to be saying that if you've got reliability issues four races in, it's going to be a long whole season. Most definitely.
I think that race is quite different, though, in terms of the environment it's in, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to say, Steve.
It also seems to be happening across the range. So a lot of the teams have had various different problems with things like that. I mean, look how many gearbox changes we've seen already, you know, that resulted in grid penalties. Okay, it's not just been one team or...
Okay. Good point. So there we go. The final positions then. Mr. Vettel cruised home with a 3-second advantage over the end. Thank you, Steve, for the sound effect. Mr. Raikkonen, second. Lotus Renault in second and
third.
These
are the boring blokes, aren't they?
After so many tweets of where's my podium?
Yep. Second and third for Lotus Renault, and it's their first podium finish for Lotus since 1988. I couldn't believe that stat. No, I couldn't believe that stat. There is no way on God's green earth Lotus has not been on since 1988, but sure enough they haven't.
Yep, Colin Chapman will be happy.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah, I know he's dead. I'm still saying he would be happy. Okay, he's not on the line throwing his cap in the air like he did when they didn't win. But
Colin Chapman will be fertiliser.
He used to be famous for it. When the cars used to win, he used to stand on the line and throw his cap in the air. He was well known for it.
You can't get near the track now, can you? God.
No, exactly.
Jenks says, a friend of mine served in Iraq in the armoured division and the dust was worse than mud or grit or ice. It clogs up, incredibly difficult to deal with. Wouldn't be surprised if it messed up an awful lot of parts on the car.
Well, they ran special filters, didn't they, for this race? But it's understandable. It's like you can't drive a hire car across the middle of Australia because the dust just kills them.
Yeah.
Dead. Stone dead. Dust. No for dust.
What else have we got then? Any other thing? Duresta. We like Duresta.
Yes, sixth. He did really well.
Yeah.
Good lad.
He was playing a strategy game, wasn't he? He was on a different like stop pattern to everybody else pretty much. And I think he came out of it well.
Yeah, I mean, I understand he only had two stops, didn't he?
You understand correctly, my dear.
Hamilton, 58 seconds behind Vettel, based on the average pit run being 20 seconds and the fact that his average pit run was more like 35 to 40 seconds. That's those two wheel nuts right there, isn't it, that 58 seconds?
Yeah, but I think it was brought up in one of the... Again, I can't remember which... commentary set it was, but one of them did bring up, even if you take that off his time, he would have only been still like fourth or fifth. It's like, surely not. Surely that's not right.
I think he
would have been right up there with the Lotuses and Vettel.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd love to see a battle between Raikkonen and Hamilton. Yeah. Going to Stowe, that'll be fun when that happens.
I mean, it's like when Button lost out on the pit stops. You know, he could have been battling Rosberg in the last race.
Well, he was complaining of a poorly balanced car in the post-race, wasn't he? So you just don't know.
And, you know, if they were munching through their rear tyres, or they couldn't get them to work because the McLaren needs the tyres to be hotter than they were getting, or
well, no,
it's interesting.
Raikkonen was talking about
they just did not perform.
Raikkonen was talking about the tyres fading in and out almost. He was saying, "Yeah, I wasn't getting anywhere, and then all of a sudden I got the tyres to work, and then they went off again."
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like,
well, the problem with the dust in the tyres is that the dust causes the tyres to slide across the surface of the track, which heats up the outside of the tyre, but doesn't keep the core hot. So you'll have cooling of the tyre and graining of the top. So you then got to slow down in order to inhibit the graining and then get your core temperature back up again. But once these tyres fall off, it seems very difficult to keep them going.
Right.
But you see them doing it in quali. They do a hot lap and then they'll slow down. And the reason they don't just go from side to side is because all it does is just heat up the surface, and then all you get is graining. So
you feel that on the game as well, Chris.
You do. You do feel graining.
You what?
Even with the sand?
Even with the sand. Yeah, yeah. In fact, my game came with a little man and a little sandblaster. And if I turn him on, it's like it's a full 4D experience. It's brilliant.
Did you not buy the helmet attachment as well, so you didn't have to? It didn't go in your eyes.
No. There's a helmet attachment. Was it slowly just filled with sand? That could be really awkward and fun. By the way, I just got to say, at the end of the race, Paul de Resta, he was going, "Yeah, I had just had nothing left." And I just had, in my mind, a wonderful little mental image of going, "I can't do any more cutting than giving her all she's got." Just to finish line. Because bless him, he did a good job, didn't he?
It was giving Force India a lot of airtime after qualifying, where they got virtually none, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you wonder if that was due to sponsorship. Good. You know, they don't fulfil their obligations to do all the sessions. So Mr. Eccleston tells FOM to, you know, be a little light on the coverage, perhaps.
That
politics
was,
once
didn't
again.
Have a choice in the race, did they?
And on that note, we shall thank UK2, the sponsors of Marussia and the sponsors of us as well. We have something in common with an F1 team. Please support UK2 because they support us. They pick up all the bandwidth each month. We've had a rather good month, it has to be said. We've got an awful lot of support and new people signing in. We are the top downloaded Mac podcast in the British iTunes store. No Mac podcast has downloaded more episodes at the moment than we have. We're well up the charts. Thank you ever so much for people that have come and given us support and reviews and that kind of stuff. It makes a huge, huge difference to us. And we are eternally grateful. Mac Show is doing rather well. We're third in technology at the moment. Reviews are pouring in. We've got our own little network channel at the moment. We're talking to iTunes about getting it fluffed up a little bit better, but that's not a sexual thing, by the way, before anyone gets excited. Aaron Clayden, thank you very much for your review. With the start of the season, this podcast is a must. Sarah, you and Steve and the rest of the team delivered a debrief on the week's action and some fun along the way. Cheers, mate. Thank you ever so much. And,
is that for the F1 review?
That's for the F1 review, yeah.
Can we have some more, do you think?
We could do with some more. We've only got one review for the F1 show.
Who's
which
that?
Which is Aaron.
We've only got one show up, haven't we, in there as well?
Yeah, we have. That's part of the limiting factor. And the reason is that I haven't been able to post the one the week before, and I've now lost it, unfortunately. There's a longer story than it sounds, and not as bad
it's
as
a wheel
it sounds.
Nut from the other week.
It's a wheel nut. Here we go. And Joe's still got hold of the one from last week. He hasn't sent it to me yet. So when that comes in, I'll post them. But they're going to be out of order, unfortunately, because this one's going to go up soon as I can, really, probably tomorrow or Wednesday. But UK2 pick up all, and you know, we've had Mr. Anatko on this week on the Mac Show. Downloads have gone through the roof, and they never bat an eyelid. We also never have the server fall over or anything like that. Totally reliable service, like it says in the payoff line. They are very good on price, so the affordable bit comes into it as well. Got some fantastic tools for the innovation. You've got the site builder tool, and you've got Facebook integration for all your websites included. So go through our link on britishtechnetwork.com, and they'll know we sent you. Have a browse around. When you've bought something, we're still on the offer code BagelTech at the moment. So put in BagelTech, you get 15% off, and put in BagelDNS, and it wipes away your DNS management charges. So please, please, please support UK2, because this network is entirely reliant on them, although I'm sure Marussia's not entirely reliant on them, but I'm sure they love them too. Thanks. Magic moments. Right then, Tone, what's your magic moment, mate?
Well, Dresta's whole performance, and also Kimi and Sebastian battling like in the mid-race.
Now, we've done this a couple of weeks now where everyone's picked two moments or something like that. We're going to have to make a rule. A magic moment is a magic moment. Okay? One pick only. Right, got to do the tough choices.
I shall take the 5-place penalty for the next show.
You will. You'll be on line 5, mate. Trust me, the grid. Mr. Neighbour, what's your magic moment?
Well, I was just trying to stand up and work out if I could show you because I've recreated my magic moment in my garden.
Oh, go on then.
Oh,
well, those trees with the blue lights wrapped around the tree and the fluffy the white paddock. Lights at the top
and the red ones,
and they have the red ones around.
Good session.
Stem,
I like those. They're my magic moment.
The trees.
Yes, I like them.
Light wrapped palm trees.
Yes.
Good.
Makes me feel all brain.
You can have two if you want now, then I've reversed the decision.
Are you on another one?
No, I don't. Sarah, what's yours, mate?
Contrary to being a Brit, my magic moment was Grosjean passing Hamilton on lap 7.
Yeah.
He did it like a pro, and for someone who's relatively inexperienced, I was well impressed.
Well, that was a T1 DRS pass, wasn't it? And he was snot hot. I mean, he was really fast over him.
Absolutely. He's my driver of the day as well.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, because I had that in my list of possible magic moments.
It was just the way he did it. He just, you know, it wasn't quite like Hamilton was standing still, but it was certainly, you know, the kind of thing you'd expect Alonso or one of the other world champions to actually pull on Hamilton, not.
Yeah, Grosjean's done very well this year, hasn't he? Yeah, he's starting to develop nicely.
He got all the credit this weekend, I feel, whereas Grosjean deserved it just as much.
Yeah.
Good point. And Chris, what's your magic moment?
The tires ain't got no more than them left. I've given all she's got. And still got over the line before him.
Have you got the double Kurz crystals?
Oh, yes.
The double Kurz crystals. They were every time he passed the line, it was like, double Kurz. Okay, Paul, double curves.
Is that his new power plant? It's not actually a Mercedes engine, it's a warp core.
It is. The dilithium crystals.
Mm.
Excellent. Well done, Chris. Mm. My magic moment was Hamilton, lap 11, comes out of the pit, starts his lap 11, and then he comes on the radio, what happened there, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you're a professional, you're getting paid. He's probably got a sports psychologist who helps him. And he's getting paid that amount of money. The one thing that anyone would tell you, with even a very poor knowledge of sports psychology, is if it goes wrong, leave it alone. The last thing you want to do is create a point where you'll remember it. The last thing you want to do is pull yourself back towards it.
Especially in public.
Exactly. You know, what happened there, fellas? Well, here's a really long-winded answer then. So, this is what happened. And then you're like, hang on, well, I'll tell you what, I'll drive back around, I'll come in the pits and I'll get out of the car and you can explain it to me then, because it's going to be distracting the whole way around if they bother to end. And I was really chuffed that McLaren just kind of like totally blanked it from what the radio was saying. But there's certain elements of Hamilton when I look at him, and after all the stuff that went on with Nicole last year and he's getting upset because he wasn't happy with Nicole, and there's a little bit of him that I think is petulant child. And I think, you know, they're all trying to manage his ego and that petulant element to him. Mm. And that one statement, if you are a top-level professional sportsman on $30 million a year plus, you don't go back and say, what went wrong there?
Did you see him sort of waving his head like this, shaking his head like this while he was in the car just before he pulled out?
Yeah. That's a lack of focus.
That, he's been a lot better this year than that sort of thing than he was last year. It's like, he's had this slip up, and in Australia, he didn't look happy with third when it was fantastic.
I quite enjoyed watching him last year with his little Bob Marley symbol on his head for one of the races on his helmet. I quite liked
his lid,
he didn't know what was going to happen week on week.
Mm. Yeah. So there you go. That's Hamilton. Where can we get a hold of you then, Mr. Blunt?
At tone_720 on the Twitters.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. You okay for another 3 weeks' time? Have you not got shift rotors yet?
I haven't got the rotors yet, but hopefully you'll be fine.
Beautiful. Mr. Neighbour, where can we get you?
I am Clothhead on Twitter. And
are you not HQ?
The Mac user group. Sorry?
Are you Clothhead HQ?
I'm Clothhead HQ, yeah. I was thinking about whether I should go to my actual name rather than this cloth head stuff.
Okay.
On Twitter.
I don't know why you've got cloth head.
What?
I don't know why you've got cloth head, but
it's a nickname.
Right.
So that I might change that in coming weeks. But then again, I might not. And at the London Mac User Group as well.
Yes. Next meeting's next month.
Yes.
Second Monday.
Excellent prizes at the next meeting.
Really? You can't leak yet, or
sorry?
Can't leak in what they are?
No, I'm worried out what they are yet, but they're excellent.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. £50 iTunes
voucher. What date's the next meeting, Steve?
Monday, the second Monday in May.
That'll do. That's close enough.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Is there going to be me?
I think it's an Apple TV, actually, we're going to give away. Always good. Always good.
Excellent. Sarah, where can we get a hold of you, Mrs.?
You can get a hold of me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK.
Thanks, Gil. And Christopher, finally.
At Christopher Wa. And possibly outside the Marussia headquarters asking for some tickets to the next race.
Well, leave that with me, mate. Don't go begging just yet, because you wear your jeans out for a start, being on your knees. Uh-huh. And also, I need to have a chat with UK too. We'll sort it. We'll be fine. We'll do something. We'll get something.
Be good.
We'll be all right. Yeah, we'll be fine.
I expect 4 tickets then next week.
We'll be back in 3 weeks' time with the Spanish Grand Prix, is it?
Yeah. Espanol.
Alonso.
Well, I was going to say, Steve's time to.
You're not going
to
be away this
the
time.
Spanish
then.
Flag again.
No, I'm going to be home for this one.
Home for this one.
And it's in the one where BBC are going head to head live.
Yes. So I'll be watching F1 if I'm around watching it live. Rugby season are finished, so I'll probably be watching it all the way through. There you go. We'll be back again in 3 weeks' time with the F1 show. All the rest of the shows are back as normal, the normal time. Next one here is going to be the news show on Wednesday, but then Thursday we've got the big show back as well. I hope you have a great time. Stay safe, drive carefully, and enjoy Vettel winning. If you're not Steve's neighbour, of course.
What?
Nothing.
Bye.